I've been reading, or we've been preaching through Colossians, and this morning in Colossians chapter 3 again. I just want to remind you of verses 1 to 4. If you have your Bible electronically or paper-wise, you can turn to verse 5. That's where we'll be heading today. But in verses 1 to 4, if you've been raised with Christ, if you are a believer, if you're a Christian, if you've recognized Christ in your life, then our mandate is to keep seeking things above. Keep seeking God. Keep allowing God to transform our lives, that we become like Him and we can live godly lives for Him. You know, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, because Jesus Christ has all authority and He's at the right hand of His Father, and He is honored in that place of authority, and that we would too recognize Christ's authority in our lives. Set your mind on things above. There's a lot going on in the world, and there's a lot of things we strive for, and there's a lot of things we have to do in this world. But in the midst of all of that, that instead of just dwelling on this life and getting by and getting through and just making it day to day, you know, paycheck to paycheck, the weekend's here, you know, great, Saturday, Sunday, I'm not working, although some of you have to work, and Monday rolls around, oh, I got to go to work again. And we would get our eyes off of the world and its stuff and its routines, and we get our eyes focused upon what's above. And that, when you focus on what's above and what's important in this life, then all the other stuff just makes sense, you know, and we can do it with joy in our hearts. Verse 5 says this to 11. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, what amounts to adultery. For it's because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and He's in all. Now this is the, you know, next week it's going to be nice because we get to see what we get to put on. But now Paul concentrates on what we got to take off. And he hits us, you know, with a 2x4 because there's some stuff in our lives. There's an evil nature, a sinful nature. There's a lot going on in us because of, you know, before Christ and in our sin. So a lot of habits have been formed. A lot of lifestyles have been formed. We've lived a lot of things. And some things we definitely regret. And in the midst of all of that, Paul is saying to us and in instructing us on living the Christian life, you know, since we've based our faith on the death and resurrection of Christ, and since the hope of our future life is in Him, because of all of that, you know, we need to eliminate sinful behaviors that are in our life. We need to take the stuff that's there that's not good and godly and cultivate Christian virtues instead. Really what that big word sanctification is when we come to Christ. You know, sanctification is that continual work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that's changing us and taking out that nature, that old nature, and He's changing us into God's nature. It's really that process that happens. And the good news today is that we're not going to be perfect until the end. Paul says, you know, on the day of Christ, when Christ returns and we're wrapped up with Him in eternity, then we're going to be perfect. But right now, I got stuff I got to deal with because it ain't good and it ain't godly and it's attached to old habits and behaviors and things that took place in my childhood. There's just a lot of stuff going on, and God wants to continually transform and change us. Why? Because He loves us. Because He knows that His work in us is going to make a powerful change in us. And that the beauty that develops in our life is going to be so honoring to Him, and it's going to transform other people's lives, because when they see the work in our lives, they too can have hope that their life can be changed. And And so there's this process that takes place that Paul says, you know what? In the process, there comes a time when we just got to put off the stuff that's in the old nature, the stuff that might be attractive and alluring in this world right now. Dealing with the sins of the past is really what Paul said. You know, you used to walk in this way. Now, that's for sure that they probably were still walking in some of it that way. But he says, you used to do this before you knew God, before you surrendered your life, before you came to Christ, before you knew God in an intimate way. All of these things were there. But he says, now it's time for action. In your everyday life, it's time to basically put to death those things that are not godly and those things that are not pleasing. That's really what he's saying. In the language of the Greek, he's saying, put to death those things. And the last time I saw, except when Christ did this, the last time I saw when something dies, it's dead. So he's saying to us, let's put to death those things that are not godly and that are holding us back from a godly life. Put to death. Take decisive action. You know, that's really one of the hardest things that we do as believers is when we know there's sin in our life and God is working in our lives with that sin. To take a decisive action and like to, you know, get the axe and hit the roots and say, enough is enough, it's gone, I'm going to walk in a different way and I'm going to leave it behind. That's really what Paul is saying. But how often do we struggle? Well, you know, I'm just not strong enough and you know, I kind of like this. And we hold on. We try to hold on to this new life. Yet we got our hand gripping the old life in an area that we know God wants us to deal with. And what Paul is saying, when you know that, when you have a knowledge that God is at work in your life, and you know that God is pricking your heart, and he's saying, you know what, this isn't good, is that we would decide to make a decisive action. We put to death that area of our life that God wants us to honor him in. There's no wishy-washy with Paul, is there? You know, you can get by with both hands holding on and tug-a-waring. He's saying, no. He's saying, let it go. Hold on to what's good. Let go of what you used to walk in. 2 Corinthians 5 reminds us, Paul, in that chapter of that book says, you know, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And as Christians, we've got to remember the new things have come. The Spirit of the living God resides in us. We don't have to walk around defeated. The power of God, his very presence, dwells within us. And we have all that we need to fight all of our spiritual battles and all of our physical battles we find in Christ. To make dead is really what Paul's saying here. Put off, make dead. It's a verb, it's a strong word. And it really does mean, as I said earlier, it doesn't mean to just suppress something, you know, for the time being. You know, I've got that day, I got the victory today. And, you know, just hold it down till next time when I give up and it just sort of takes over. You know, it doesn't mean control evil acts and practices. We are literally to wipe them out, completely exterminate the old way of life. There's a real distinct decision we have to make with those things in our life that we know are from our past and not godly. It's about not playing on the fence. It's not wavering in and out of our sin. It's saying, no, enough's enough. And I know that in our humanity, we can't always make that decision ourselves. We need the Spirit of God. We need the power of God at work in our life. And that's why Jesus instructed us to abide in him. Because as we abide in him and we live with him and we build relationship with him and the Spirit of God, then we get the strength in our lives to make these critical decisions about our old ways of life. Getting rid of sinful practices. Romans 6, Paul said to the Romans, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." It's verses 11 to 14. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you." I look back over my life, I could honestly say that there have been sins that have had mastery over me that I haven't been able to deal with, or I haven't dealt with, or I haven't had the strength, I thought, to do it. There are things that can grab a hold of our life and hold us back from the freedom and the joy and the life of living a Christian faith. Romans 8:13 says, "Brethren, we're not under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." We know from Romans 8 that there's a struggle that goes on between the Spirit of God and the new creature and the old nature. There's that battle that takes place. But I love this verse in 8:13 because it tells us that if by the Spirit you are putting to death, by the Spirit, because in our flesh we can't win, but by the Spirit we can win. And that's why we need to have a relationship that's growing and drawing near and abiding, and constantly we're cultivating that relationship with God. On Monday morning, Monday during the day, Monday evening, Monday overnight, Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday overnight, and so on and so on and so on. So when we come in on Sunday morning, we're so full of the Holy Spirit that we can't help but have joy. We can't help but celebrate because God has helped us throughout the week and done something in us that strengthened us. And we can look back over the week and you know what? That little root, it's been cut off. Praise be to God. We're not helpless. We're not defenseless. We've got the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, living in us and fighting for us. We've got all that we need if we just lean towards Him. Paul lists old practices that they used to engage in. He has two sets that he goes through here. The first five, of course, have to do with sexual purity. And in our day and age and in our world, this is a big deal. It's a big deal in our world, isn't it? And so Paul engages them back then, you know, on some of these issues, you know, sexual immorality, porneia, you know, the most general word for sexual intercourse. And originally, the practice of being with prostitutes was the connotation here. Later, it came to mean habitual immorality. Of course, refers to every kind of sexual activity outside of the confines of marriage and what God intended it to be. Impurity, often used in a physical way, here has a moral point because basically it's talking about our uncleanness of thought, you know, and the words and the intent of the heart. It deals with those kind of issues because it's not just the actions, it's what's born in our heart and in our mind as we live those things out. Passion or lust, pathos, it's an uncontrolled desire or evil desires. Generally, you know, all people and things in the world exist for me. And you know, you see this a lot in child pornography. It's when adults take children and abuse them this way, they're doing it for their own gratification and their own desires. And then greed. You know, it's basically the self-interest in things in the place of God, but it's the desire to have more. And it can be used in a practical, physical way with money and possessions and all these things. But it can also mean in the sexual realm. But putting self-interest in things in the place of God is idolatry, as Paul states here. It's putting something and elevating things above God. And it's those things that we have to cut off. We have to put to death, and we have to not allow those things to reign in our lives. Paul says, "In them you also once walked when you were living in them." You see, it's in the past and it belongs there. And he's saying, you know, we should leave it there. get and cut those things off of our lives. When he says that you once walked is our conduct. You know, when you were living in them, and living really has to deal with our attitudes and feelings from which our conduct flows. So sin is birthed in our heart and in our mind, and then we live it out. We live and we walk it out. Paul lists five more things after that that Christians need to get rid of. And these five have a lot of bearing on social relationships among believers. He talks about anger and wrath. You know, anger, settled feeling of anger. When you have anger in your heart towards someone or something. And then wrath is the sudden and passionate outburst of that feeling. When you're feeling angry and then you just let it all comes out. You know, I know some of you have never heard my story the one time, but I'll give you an idea of this, is that when I was a child growing up, in the circumstances I was a very angry boy. And it would come out a lot of times. So the anger would be birthed inside of me, and then it would just outburst and suddenly. And the time my sister and my parents weren't home, my sister was egging me on because she knew she could do it. And I was getting so mad and frustrated, and I chased her through the house. And as I came in, to the kitchen, on the corner of the kitchen was a knife and a very sharp blade, butcher knife. And my sudden anger turned to wrath in that I picked up that knife and I threw it. And I got her in the back. You see, there's the difference between the two. You see the one where it's birthed inside and you're angry. And then there's the wrath of implementing it or bringing it out. For those that don't know, my sister lived, and we're best friends today. His word malice is just a general term for badness. It's where you really are vicious, and it's a spirit inside you that prompts you to injure people, injure others. You know, where you really do, it's beyond normal. It's where you intend to really hurt somebody. And he goes, don't lie. Stop lying to one another. There seems to be a special emphasis here, and it possibly was a relevant issue for them. But in today's world, isn't it so true that truth is disguised and misplaced and changed and tweaked? And so, you know, we get the terms white lie. You know, it's okay to lie as long as it's, you know, it's helping you out and it's covering up something. You know, lying, falsehood. You know, there's a way we can lie to hurt people. There's just an outright way when you're just not telling the truth. You know, you're speaking falsehood about somebody. But there's also the ability, and we call it kind of slander, when you actually are speaking the truth about somebody, but you're using it to damage them. And so we have to be very careful about how we talk and how we honor, and we need to be people of truth. What does the Bible say, especially if you're going to deal with God himself and you're dealing with him in your prayer life, is let your yes be yes and your no be no. And when I hear you say something, I can believe it as the truth. You know, it's the proverbial, Judy, let's have coffee. And then I never follow it up. See how subtle that is? How falsehood can be? You know, we have to be people of our word so that people know exactly what they're getting. Isn't this great stuff? But it's so useful and so needed in our lives because we have this old nature and God just wants to transform us and just take some of this stuff out. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen once, you know, and then you're just great. It's the continual work of just being yielded to God and His Spirit and saying, God, you know, we just want you to touch our lives. I want you, God, to change me. And I know I can't do it all at once, but God, just a little bit today, please. It's the whole metaphor that he uses in this passage of Scripture of clothing. Put it off. Take off the dirty clothes. Take off the soiled clothes. And next week we'll find out that we're going to put on good clothes. Being renewed, transformed is an ongoing process that God is at work in our life. Let me read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 to you. Most of you know this passage, but let me just put this in the context here. And Lisa, if you would join me, appreciate that. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, in Hebrews 12, they're talking about these witnesses from Hebrews 11, all these people that died in their faith. And you know, we can look back and say we have a lot of witnesses, the people that have gone before us and endured and survived and have their eternal reward. But folks, there's a lot of people sitting around here. We've hung out with each other. You know, we've watched each other. And we are witnesses of each other. And we're witnesses of the work of God in our lives. And we are to be called to be people that build each other up. That we're willing to look into a person's life and say, you know, I just noticed this little thing. No judgment. Can we just talk about that? Can we pray about that? Can we look at that? Just to strengthen and encourage each other. We are witnesses. We're called to lay every weight and sin in our lives that's holding us back from running with endurance. God has a great plan for our lives. And it's not letting us stay in our sin, in our old ways, in our old habits, our old behaviors. Some of us are still dealing with stuff from our past, from our childhood, and we haven't become free. And we need to have an honest talk with the Spirit of God and say, Spirit of the living God, what do I need to do about this? And let Him open up our understanding and to take the things that we need to do so that we can have life. And as Jesus put it, we could have life abundant. Let's be free. I'm not going to be perfect by tomorrow. But let's seriously look at allowing God to transform our lives from the old nature into the new person that we are in Christ. So God, thank you. Thank you, God, because you are making us beautiful. That you are making us more like yourself. And God, we don't open this passage of Scripture today and talk about this because we're going to condemn ourselves. That's not what you're trying to do here. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But what the Spirit of God is wanting to do in us today is just to open up our understanding, to convict if we're in sin, and transform us so that we can have life. Thank you for loving us that much, God, and caring for us that much. You don't want us to stay in our sin. Transform us, God. Help us, Lord. Let's examine our hearts before God right now and just allow the Spirit of God to speak to you individually. Let's allow Him to open our understanding so that we can see if there's anything that He wants to work in our lives, even now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Yeah, God, I pray for every person in this room, that they be filled with strength, that they be filled with your power, and the God you would increase in their life. Bless them with every spiritual blessing. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. Amen. Well, life and faith are often a struggle, but God has given us victory and gives us the ability to hope so that we can have joy in this life today. Amen.